The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John, chapter 1, verses 29 to 42. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony: "I saw the Spirit coming down from heaven as a dove and remained on him. I would not have known him, except the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." The next day, John was there again with two of the disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon's brother, was one of the two who heard what John said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which is translated as Peter. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I thought this morning we'd have a little bit of fun, and I need an assistant. I thought today, when we're talking about God's call, that we could talk and have a little bit of fun as well. So I hope you're in fine form this morning. I've got some questions to ask. There's a great big divide down the middle. I'm not quite sure what that's all about, but I was going to say there's plenty of people this side and there's people on the other side, so maybe we can have a little bit of fun. There could be a prize for this, and it could be a trip to heaven. All expenses paid. The expenses have been paid, so see if you can win. Okay, we're talking about God's call. And a lot of people say to me, "I can't hear God calling." Well, you're not going to hear God calling if there's a whole lot of noise around. You're only going to hear God call when it's quiet and still. Perhaps when you're sitting, reflecting, or something like that. But I thought I'd just look at some aspects of some people in the Bible and the different ways that they were called. God calls people in different ways. He calls them in a way that suits each person. So first of all, I'm going to ask you, and you've just heard the story because I told the kids, the story of Samuel. 1 point for the person who tells me where the story came from. Bible reference? No, Bible reference?
That's only half a point.
Yeah, that's only half a point. Which book of the Bible is the story of Samuel in? Come on. Book of Samuel, 1 Samuel 3. Okay. All right. And what did Samuel say at the end? "Speak, for your servant is listening." Is that the response we give to God? I hope it is. Let's see. What about Abraham? Where do I find the stories of Abraham?
Genesis.
In the Bible? Yes. Which Bible? Which book? Genesis, I heard. You able to keep score? Okay. Let's see. You're right. Genesis 12. You could be a bit more specific, but Genesis 12. Abraham's response. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him. What did the Lord ask Abraham to do? Pack up his family and go. Go hundreds of miles away. Would you say yes to a call like that? Would you say yes if God asked you to move that far? Yeah. Okay, that would be encouraging. Jeremiah. Where do we find the stories of Jeremiah? In the Bible.
Jeremiah.
Jeremiah, book of Jeremiah. Who said chapter 1, verse 4? Didn't get that far. What did Jeremiah say to God when God suggested he went and did something? Alas, sovereign Lord, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. Some traditions say, or some translations say, I'm only a boy. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you.
I think Phil was right. You've got the wrong person. So 2 points on that side, 2.5 this side.
Well, it was a bit like that, wasn't it? Would that be our response? Oh, Lord, not I'm too young. For some of us it would be all right, but for some of us, oh, I'm too old to do that. God said, get on with it. I don't want those excuses. Get on with it. Isaiah. Where are we going to find the stories of Isaiah?
Isaiah.
Oh, they're catching on. They're catching on. Isaiah 6, 5 to 9. And Isaiah said, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. And he said, go and tell the people. Be careful if you say, here I am, to God. Sometimes it leads to some interesting places, but it's the right response. Here I am, send me. If you had followed the other readings that we had this morning, we had another call of Isaiah to continue on and to do something different. That was in our first reading this morning. What about Ezekiel? We all know Ezekiel. We know all about him.
He's over in Sunday school.
Oh, is he? Okay. All right, where do I find the stories of Ezekiel? Ezekiel. You'll get caught one of these questions. Ezekiel 1 to 3. What did Ezekiel do or say? Ezekiel, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel the priest, and the hand of the Lord was upon him. Just a reminder, if God asks you to do something, his hand's going to be on there helping you. Joseph the dreamer. Where do we find the stories of Joseph the dreamer? Well, I'm glad they didn't say the book of Joseph. I was waiting for somebody. Genesis 37. Thank you.
3.5, 2.
Remember the story of the young boy Joseph who used to annoy his brothers, telling them of all the dreams he had. He didn't at that stage interpret them and say he would be greater than they were, but that was the interpretation of the dream. You'll notice the little symbol on the top of the slide has changed, because now we're changing from God speaking to people saying, will you do this, to God talking to people through dreams. There's lots of ways God talks to people. And he talked to Joseph the dreamer through his dreams. I call him Joseph the dreamer because there's another Joseph that had dreams as well. Mary's husband. Where do we find the stories of Mary and Mary's husband? Matthew, what? 1. Okay. Close enough.
Well, give her a point.
Yeah. Give her a point.
Three.
Okay. What about, we finished talking about Matthew, talking about Joseph and his dreams. His first dream told him what? No. To marry Mary. But Mary was actually carrying God's son and it was fine. Beg your pardon? Did you hear Esme say that? Well, then you're slipping in your job. You have to have ears everywhere. Okay, and the next time Joseph had a dream, get up and go to Egypt, take the child away so the child is safe. There you go, we're getting there. The wise men had a dream too. They were warned in a dream not to go back to Herod. We know that story. The wise men, Matthew 2, good. Before the question was even asked, Tony's got the answer. But not only did they know in a dream, did God talk to them in a dream, God talked to them in a different way. The wise men, how did God get their attention and talk to them?
Star.
Star?
I'm used to star.
No, people at the back I could hear saying the star too. That's a bit unusual. We don't go out and see stars. Not that often. What about Mary? How did God tell Mary about the baby? The angel. Anybody ever come to you in the form of an angel and tell you something?
Not with wings,
okay, all right. Matthew 1, again, I hope you're getting the idea that this is all in Matthew. The last bit is. Going back, this is another unusual call. Moses. Where do we find the stories of Moses?
Exodus.
Somebody's still saying Matthew. Exodus.
Gary's got a Bible open.
I did not say you couldn't look up in the Bible. Well, you can get your Bible and look, you'll just be flicking here, there, and everywhere.
6 points and 5 points.
Okay. All right. How did God get Moses' attention? Burning bush. What did Moses say? Here I am.
Send another.
Yes. That's almost like the first bit was here I am, but the next bit was, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? That's a bit like some of our response, isn't it? Not me. I'm not the one that should do that. Somebody else should do that. It's a good idea, but not me. What about David? Where do we find the stories about David? David the shepherd.
Kings?
Samuel. I put down Samuel, but they are in Kings as well, so that's got to be... Okay. How do we know what David did? How do we find out? It's in the Bible. I know it's in the Bible. What part of the Bible? In the Psalms. The Psalms tell us a lot about David. When we read the Psalms that he's written, there's lots of things. He's very famous for... the 23rd Psalm, the Lord's my shepherd. But he had absolute faith in God. When you read his story, he was doing brilliantly up until he had a bit of a problem with Bathsheba, and that was the end of it. It was the end of his goodness, shall we say. From then on in, his life went downhill. What about the first disciples? Where do we find the call of them?
Luke 1.
You might as well. It is in all of them. I was thinking specifically of Luke 5, but yes, you do see a little bit in some of them. So they pulled up their boats. This is the story from Luke 5 where they're fishing and Jesus is walking past. He called, come on, follow me. So they pulled up their boats upon the shore. They left everything and they followed him. Are we in that position? Would we leave everything? Would we be like the ones who say, oh, Jesus, I have to go and fix my family. I have to see to this and do that, and then I'll come. would we have had the same faith to have just said, yes, I'll go? Something to think about. There was also another story in the Gospel reading where John the Baptist was pointing out, here is the Lamb of God. Some of his disciples went and followed instantly. I'll just leave you to think about those for a moment and think if there's been... Oh, thank you, I didn't get the answer.
7 points and 6 points.
Well, these...
Averaging it with the number of people on that side and the number of people on this side, it's a draw. Oh.
So you'll all go to heaven. How nice. Just a little bit of fun, but I just wanted to talk about the call that God has on everybody's life. From the Isaiah reading this morning, it told us about God knew us before we were even born. As he was knitting us together in our mother's womb, he was calling us. What has he called every person to do?
To believe.
To believe in the Son of God, that's everybody's job. And because we believe, then we worship. But what about specific calls on people's lives? We've said that God calls through his word, or through a word, talking to people. We've said that he calls through dreams, and we've said that he calls through some unusual circumstances. So I just wanted to tell you a little bit about what's happened to me on my journey, because some of it fits with those calls, some of it doesn't. The first time I can remember being called by God to do something specific was when I was getting married, and like all young people, thinking about, am I going to do the right thing? Is this the right thing for me? I was talking to my grandmother one day and she said, are you sure you're doing the right thing? You have to make sure before you take that step. And I said to her, yes, I am sure. I just know that God has called Bob and I together, because I know that together we can do much more than we could do if we were working by ourselves. There was just that assurance in my heart that I was doing the right thing. I tried to explain to my daughter many years later about this just knowing. And like a lot of younger people, she said to me, you can't just know anything. You have to have a reason. And I said, well, I just know. That's all I can tell you. And I think as we get older and as we mature, we can develop that a little bit more, that idea of just knowing that we were doing the right thing. So that was one call. There was a call later on my life to go into pastoral ministry. Not to ordination at that stage, but this was to be a pastoral worker in a church. And the call was to go and do the ecumenical hospital chaplaincy course. Now, I hated going into hospitals. It's still not my favourite place. But that was the call. And I think God often calls us to do things that we're a little bit uncomfortable with. It wasn't like go to Africa and set up a mission where I would have been much more uncomfortable. But there was a degree of being uncomfortable being in the hospital. We were living at Surfers Paradise at the time, and the course was being run in Surfers Paradise and in Brisbane. And I thought, well, that's not bad. It was one day a week and it was in the local hospital. I was teaching for 4 days, so I could be flexible in my days and work around this course. But to get into the course, you needed to have an interview. And I went along to the interview, not knowing what they would say, being very inexperienced in that sort of meeting and questioning. And they said, now, why do you want to do this? And I said, I don't know. Something inside of me is pushing me to go that way. And then I thought to myself, well, you've blown that. That's a silly answer. That's saying nothing. And they said, oh, good, we see God in that. But there's a problem. We're not running this course at Surfers Paradise or anywhere on the Gold Coast, and we're not running it in Brisbane next year. So we're going to run it in Toowoomba. And head from the Gold Coast to Toowoomba one day a week to do this. Anyway, I received a letter to say I was accepted into this course in Toowoomba, and after I'd been accepted, Bob said to me, I've just had a phone call from the bishop, he wants us to move to Toowoomba. So there it was. You see, if God's in it, it's all worked out. If that course had been run in Surfers and we were living in Toowoomba, it would have been just as awkward. But here it was in Toowoomba, and it was a wonderful start to ministry. So it just depends on what God wants you to do and whether you're going to be sitting still. Well, not sitting necessarily, but still in your spirit and listening to God, whether you're going to hear what God is saying to you. God will only ask you to do the things that he feels that you can do. He won't ask you to do lots of difficult things, but he will be there always to help you. Now, there's a few things I'd like to talk about, a few things you can think about for the future. What is God's call on us here today? This is individually. As individuals, what is God asking us to do? And here are some of the things. These are some suggestions. There's lots of jobs around the church that need doing. There's gardening. There's music. We'll talk later about having a meeting about the music. But there's lots of jobs. If you're good with computers, Bob's got a job that he's waiting for somebody to do that they can do at home. If it's not to do with computers, come and see me. I've got lots of jobs. One job I've got at the moment, and we had some people working on it last Tuesday, was sorting out the archives and working out what can be thrown out and what needs to be kept. Not a difficult job, but a good job. That's Tuesday afternoon. You could assist with some pastoral care. There's a lady in one of the nursing homes who was asking me to go and visit. We go in once a month and we give them communion. But believe me, that's not very often if you're sitting there day after day with nobody to talk to. Once a month is very minimal. So I went and saw her just before Christmas, and I started to talk to her, and I said to her, now what is it that we can do for you? She said, you can pop in and see me a little bit more. That pricked my conscience, because I thought, I know what it would be like if I was sitting up there and I didn't have people to talk to. I must admit I haven't had time to get back and see her, but we need to make time. We need time for people to just sit with them and talk to them. 15 minutes, 20 minutes would have been enough. That's all she was asking for. Prayer ministry. We need to develop a prayer ministry. We already have a prayer chain, I know, but we need some sort of intercessory prayer group where anybody who needs prayer can pop in at a particular time and have some prayer. That's something to think about. We need to support school chaplaincy. Aileen Lowe from the First Service is connected with the Lions Club, and Aileen and some of the Lions Club people and Bob and I went down and did a barbecue for the chaplain. He wanted some people to run a barbecue, and we did that. We had a lovely day. It took us only a couple of hours. Kids had a lovely time. Chaplain was happy. He's still talking about the people who came and helped him just to run a barbecue. Not much effort. The men cooked the sausages, the ladies had the bread and the sauce. Very easy. We need to also think about teaching religious instruction. I've spoken about we are the keepers of the story, but if we don't pass that story on, what's going to happen? We're going to keep that story and it's going to die with us. We have to tell that story. An RI is a good way to do it. We've got some visitors today and they're going to talk far more about it than I can talk. They'll talk a lot better about it at the end of the service. So keep your ears open for that call. But as well as what are we doing individually, we have to think about what God is calling all of us as a parish to do. As a parish, how do we respond to all those people in need of food, clothing, transport or petrol money, how do we respond to those people? How do we respond to the people out there who need prayer? Where is there somewhere set up that they can come and have some prayer? What about the people out there who need to hear the gospel? That's a basic call on everybody's life, to spread the gospel. There might be other needs. Well, there probably are, but I haven't put them down. So think about, how can we be the light for the people in this area? What can we do individually and as a church to be the light and the salt in our community?